both the Arminians and the Calvinists believe you must persevere in order to make it into the kingdom, and that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right. So it turns faith alone around into a condition of ongoing faithfulness in order to be saved.
Hello, friends. It's the first day of spring, and the flowers are blooming, especially the tulip. That's right, we're going to talk again today about the 5 points of Calvinism represented by the acronym TULIP. We're still talking about the P, perseverance of the saints. What does it mean, and how does it relate to the free grace position? Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus. We're currently in a series about the 5 points of Calvinism, and it's based on a book by our discussion leader, Dr. Bob Wilkin, called Is Calvinism Biblical? At the end of the broadcast, I'm going to tell you how to get your hands on a copy of that book, so stay tuned for that. For now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We have been going through the 5 points of Calvinism, and we've arrived at the last point, the P. And we were discussing the preservation of the saints and the perseverance of the saints. Even though there's one P, you can really break down that doctrine into two different doctrines. So we were discussing what Calvinists say about the perseverance of the saints, and I think there's more to say about that, because we take a different position than the two major positions that are out there.
Right.
On the one hand, you have the Calvinists who say everybody whom God has elected to eternal life will unfailingly persevere in faith and good works until the very end of their life, because God has predestined them to do that. And someone might fall temporarily, but it'll only be temporary. They'll always come back, and they will die in faith. On the other hand, the Arminians and Wesleyans say, no, it's possible for a Christian to believe in Jesus and to start following Jesus and then fall away from the faith. And if they do, then they lose their salvation. That's the Arminian or Wesleyan view.
Right.
But we think the Bible teaches a third view, and I think it's worth considering a third option.
We briefly touched on this 30 seconds or so at the end of the last broadcast. Both the Arminians and the Calvinists believe you must persevere in order to make it into the kingdom, and that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right. So it turns faith alone, which in the Bible, all you need is a single act of faith in Christ to have eternal life and be born again. They turn that around into a condition of ongoing faithfulness in order to be saved.
That is correct. What we need to recognize, the Bible clearly calls upon believers to persevere. That's not in doubt. And we're going to look at a passage in a minute that talks about that. But on the other hand, what is in doubt is this guaranteed? And I would agree with the Arminians, no, it's not guaranteed, but I would agree with the Calvinists that once a person believes, they're secure forever, they're preserved forever. But I would disagree with the Calvinists that somehow that means I'm going to persevere. No.
We think the Bible teaches that the consequence of falling away is not what the Arminians and the Calvinists typically think the consequence is. We don't think it's an eternal life issue. We think it's an eternal rewards issue.
That's precisely right. That's a good way to put it. Is the issue where I'm going to spend eternity, or is the issue how abundant will my life be forever?
Well, one of the passages we're going to look at today is 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 10. And this is Paul nearing the end of his ministry, reflecting on how he has served Christ. And he's going to describe for us what his hope is, what his expectation is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand, his departure being his death. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. We would take that as a reward, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. So tell us what's going on in this passage, Bob.
I would agree that this is a passage that's dealing with eternal rewards. And I think to get a background, we ought to briefly consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verses 24 through 27, Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become adokimos." It's translated disqualified in most translations, but it really means disapproved. And you'll notice that this passage is directly related to 2 Timothy 4:6 through 10, where Paul says, "I have fought the good fight."
Right.
He talked about fighting here.
So in 1 Corinthians, it's Paul is still in the race. He's not certain that he's going to finish well.
That's right.
But by the time he comes to 2 Timothy, he has fought it. He knew that he had done a good job.
Right. In 2 Timothy, he's back in prison in Rome again. He knows he's about to be martyred this time. Mm-hmm. In his first Roman imprisonment, he was confident he was going to be released, and he was. But in this one, the Lord has revealed to him that he's going to be martyred. And he can now say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And notice, he talks about a crown in both passages.
Right. I think a lot of Christians would just assume that he's talking about being eternally saved. But we know that's not true. Why?
Multiple reasons. For one thing, over 100 times in the New Testament, the sole condition of everlasting life is faith in Christ. It's never persevering. It's never fighting the good fight. It's never finishing the race. It's never keeping the faith. It's always simply believing in Christ. But for another thing, the very context of this passage, notice he says, okay, I've done this. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore, what is laid up for me is the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is never stated in Scripture as equivalent to having everlasting life. And notice he says, "which the Lord, the righteous judge." That's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only our Savior and Lord, but he's our soon returning judge. And he says, "he will give it to me on that day." That day is the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ.
Right. And Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11
yes.
to 15.
Right.
He described this time when believers would be judged by Jesus and rewarded according to their works.
Exactly. Or 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10, Romans 14, 10 through 12.
So think about this for a second, because Paul is the great defender of justification by faith apart from works. I mean, no one
right.
could be any clearer than Paul was about that. But here he is talking about the role of works in a Christian's life. So you should know that if Paul is talking about works, he's not talking about how to be justified. He already explained how to be justified. That was by faith apart from works. So we know works here, running the race and fighting and serving Christ, we know he's not talking about how to be justified. He's talking about something else. That's why we think this is a rewards passage, not an eternal salvation passage.
Absolutely right. And notice he ends verse 8 with saying, "and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing." All Christians who love Christ's appearing are going to receive a crown of righteousness. Now, there are other crowns mentioned, and it's an interesting study to look at all the crowns. But all the crowns refer to eternal rewards. They all refer to ruling with Christ in the life to come and to a special fullness of life. But what's also interesting is this passage ends with a kind of a warning.
Right. The 2 Timothy passage ends
right.
with a warning. Because he lists some people who didn't finish the race, or it doesn't look like they're finishing the race well.
Exactly. Like he talks about Demas. Now, Demas is mentioned in three of Paul's epistles at the end of the letters as one of his faithful, trusted co-workers. One who, if Demas had died at that point, he would have been approved by Christ, he would have persevered. But now, all of a sudden, we read, "for Demas has forsaken me." Now, you might say, well, whatever that means, it's not good, right, John?
That's a bad thing.
Forsaking the Apostle Paul is not something you want to do. And then, worse, he says, "having loved this present world." That is an indictment on Demas. Now, we don't hear anything else about Demas in the rest of the New Testament. So did he repent? Did he come back? And did he end his life loving the Lord? Or was he loving the present world? Actually, if you love the Lord, what you're loving is the world to come. You're living in light of the world to come. Didn't Jesus say, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? Jesus is saying you need to love the world to come, not the present world. And that's what Paul's saying here. So the warning, now Demas was obviously a born-again person. He didn't lose everlasting life. But what Demas is in danger of losing is this crown of righteousness, which the Lord's only going to give to those who love his appearing. That is, those who are loving the world to come. They're living in light of the coming kingdom.
Right, so that's conditional. Once you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have eternal life. Once saved, always saved. That's unconditional. That'll never change.
Right.
But your rewards can change. The crowns you get, your ability to rule with Christ, that's conditional. And that depends on whether or not you are faithful. Are you going to forsake Christ? Or are you faithful to him? Are you following him, or are you departing from him?
Now, in future shows, we'll talk a lot more about eternal rewards. In fact, we have a whole book that we can go through. But one thing I would mention is this. Ruling with Christ is conditional on persevering to the end. Paul said, for example, if we endure, we shall also reign with him, 2 Timothy 2:12. John talked about that in Revelation 2:26, citing the Lord, saying, to him who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. So ruling with Christ is conditional, and there are several rewards that go with that. But I should mention the verse I mentioned in Matthew 6, lay up treasure in heaven, which can't be taken away by moth or rust or thieves. I call those instant winners. If we lay up treasure in heaven, it'll be there for us. But there are also perseverance prizes. That's ruling with Christ, hidden manna, the right to the tree of life, special garments, a special white stone. And so the key for us is to persevere to the end, and then we will hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion about 1 Timothy 4 and about our potential future reward in the kingdom of heaven. That's one of my favorite subjects, and I'm so glad that we got to cover it today. Maybe you're interested in going deeper on this subject. Well, I have a suggestion for you. You need to get your hands on a copy of Dr. Bob Wilkins' book, Is Calvinism Biblical? You can do that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And while you're there, you might as well take advantage of some of our free resources, like a subscription to our free magazine, or our podcasts, or our free blog posts. All of that absolutely free, available for you today. Just go to the website. In addition to that, you might find it rewarding to partner with us. You can give a tax-deductible donation right on our website, faithalone.org. Maybe you've got questions or comments. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to come to a conclusion of this discussion about Calvinism. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.